Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. How have you been touched by cancer, and how would you help a friend? Well, for my next guest, she wrote a song that was going to be for her friend's benefit, but it ended up being played at her memorial service. Writing the song for her friend was very emotional for recording artist and songwriter Sarah Matea. The song is called I Am Here to Stay. It's Nadia's song. It's available out now on iTunes. And let's meet Sarah today and find out about her song and more about Nadia. How are you today, Sarah?
I am wonderful, Mel. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. Now, your song is written for your friend Nadia, who passed away from ovarian cancer. Tell me a little bit about, well, yourself and how the song came to be.
Sure. Well, I've been in the music business, I guess, professionally for about 10 years, and I've done a lot of TV and film work, and recently some dance music. But my friend Nadia Dickinson and I met in 2004. We were both working in real estate, and we instantly, you know, connected. She had a great personality, and we just kind of, you know, melded together. And in 2005, late 2005, she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. And
how did she find out? Was she just feeling sick or?
Well, she was having some abdominal pain, so she went to the, you know, OBGYN,
right.
And they sent her to a gastroenterologist, and, you know, that was the first misdiagnosis, and so they weren't really impressed with her abdomen, so they, you know, ordered a CAT scan, and, you know, come to find out, you know, she had ovarian cancer, so in the next week, she had a hysterectomy, so, and she was only 31 years old.
Oh, wow.
So very young, yes, yeah. And so from then on, it was just, you know, kind of an uphill battle. And she was actually about cancer-free for almost a year between 2006 and 2007. And then, it, you know, as it does, it just keeps coming back in other areas. And so she would have more surgeries and, you know, more chemo. And it all seems to be working. And she would get sick from different, you know, types of chemo treatments.
Right. And, oh, yeah. I know all about that.
Yeah, you sure do. And the beginning of this year, I got a phone call from a friend of ours and said that they were putting together a benefit for Nadia. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? I mean, we just had brunch in December, and I was kind of freaking out. I was like, wait a minute. And we, you know, went back and forth on Facebook, and I was busy, and she was busy and going through stuff. And she was like, oh, I've been through hell and back and this and that. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Well, whatever you need, I'm here for you. And
was it just a benefit to help her out, pay her bills?
It was. Yeah, basically, yeah. You know, it's very expensive, and they wanted to start doing some alternative medicine. And so, you know, the doctors were starting to say, listen, you're getting a little too weak for the chemo. And so it's scary. And so, you know, all of our friends were trying to put together this benefit and you know, a few performances. And so I said, well, let me, you know, perform. Let me do whatever I can. And, you know, we'll round up a DJ and let me get the equipment and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, so as I got off the phone and I was just kind of like sitting there at my desk and I didn't really know what to do. And I went home and I just, you know, I had some music that I was working on with this producer, Todd Terry. And, you know, he's in the dance world, but he had sent me some, you know, pop tracks to work on. And so I said, you know what, let me, instead of just performing some of the dance stuff, because that's not really appropriate at an event like this, let me write something specific for her. And so, you know, I started writing and I was having a kind of a hard time with it, and she just became, you know, weaker as I was trying to write the song about strength, and I was like really fighting with myself on how to really write the lyrics, and then instead of just kind of, you know, pushing myself, I just kind of sat and kind of let the words come to me, and I still to this day really feel that she was writing the song through me.
Oh, I believe
and,
it.
And, you know, and so then I had a trip to Miami to go to for the winter music conference, and I was just, you know, kind of really pushing myself to make it through. And we had scheduled a recording session that Tuesday after we got back to record, you know, the song so that I could perform it that night. I had the trip to Miami for the music conference, and we were meeting back on Sunday the 28th, and we rescheduled the recording session for March 30th. to record all the background so that I could perform the song live, which was that Friday, April 2nd, for the benefit.
Okay.
And as I was getting off the plane, I got the text message that she had passed on the 28th. So that was really rough. And,
wow.
And it was tough because I was having a hard time even finishing the song. And then I just had this last, you know, the ending to write. And so we went into the studio, and my good friends, Wayne Harden and Moses Modesto, who I did my last song with, they wrote the last song, Heart on Fire. They helped me with the arrangement of the backgrounds, and we had Tommy Nibs come in also, who was an amazing vocalist. And so they did the backgrounds, and we all did the backgrounds. And it was an amazing experience because I really felt that Nadi was there with us, and there was such an energy there, and it was incredible. It was sad, but it was so incredible how everyone just came together for this, and we ended up, you know, doing a great recording, and, you know, I performed the song. We ended up having the benefit anyway,
right.
And I recorded or performed the song, and I had actually sent the rough version to the other singers so that they could kind of, you know, spread the word, because it's very choir-like, you know, towards the end.
Right, yes.
And so I wanted everyone to join me in singing that song, and it turned out to be really great. And, you know, she does live in the song, and she lives, you know, here in our hearts, and she was such an amazing person. I mean, as soon as you'd meet Nadia, you fall in love with her. She was, like, in my eyes, like the perfect woman. She was just so bright and so funny and charismatic, and just, you know, she light up the whole room, and she's definitely missed.
I'm getting chills with just thinking about her being in the studio.
It's just so... She was so young. I mean, she would have been 36 in September.
And I think one of the main focuses of this podcast is we're trying to tell doctors, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter what your age is. I mean,
exactly.
I just read something about a 2-year-old about ovarian cancer, but I mean, that's a bit extreme. But, you know, don't just say don't worry because you're only 31.
Right.
Because that's...
Well, yeah, and the thing about ovarian cancer is that it's disguised. It's like, you know, you'd have normal, like, I mean, when Nadi was going through this, I went to, you know, the gynecologist, and I said, please, you know, do something. Because, you know, and we all have our pains, and we all have our bloating. We have all these, you know, the signs are bloating and, you know, frequent urination and all these other things that you can normally have.
Right.
So it's about...
I had a gynecologist on the show months ago who said, if you ate a bad Mexican meal, that's what it feels like.
Sure.
You
know? You feel full really fast, like you do a burrito.
Yes.
Can't get through the whole thing. But yeah, it's just terrible. And it's, you know, it's just, it's also very personal to me because my Aunt Nancy also passed away from ovarian cancer in 2006. And so it was kind of like the same story, you know, in 2001. She was 55 when she was diagnosed in 2001. And so she went in, and she was already in stage 3. So she, you know, had the hysterectomy and
right.
you know, went through all the chemo treatments and everything else. And then, you know, it you know, spread to the liver and all the other organs, and it comes back, and then it's just fast. And it's just so sad because it's just, you know, so painful, just like any other cancer. But what I want to do is to really just help spread awareness because,
right.
you know, as women, we have got to pay attention to our bodies.
Exactly.
And we've got to ask for this CA-125, you know, the blood test and ask for the CAT scan and ask for, you know, the ultrasound. And I know it's expensive and things like that, but it can save your life. And doing all the research that I've done so, you know, far since she's gone through this, and you know, if you catch it in its early stages, you know, you have such a better, I mean, as any cancer, a better,
right.
you know, survivor, you know, rate, a chance. You know, that's all I hope to do is to just gain awareness about this because it's one of the, you know, I think the top 5 cancers for women.
I think you're right. And I didn't know before I started this podcast that a pap test wasn't.
It's not enough?
Well, a pap test looks for cervical cancer. That's not that's not even the test for ovarian cancer, which is a little more invasive than because I had
right.
that. It's a pelvic exam. They use I can't even remember what it's called. But the nurse at my doctor's office didn't tell me everything that was involved. And then I called back and I'm like, yes, I will have to know everything that's involved in these kind of exams.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, if you're not, I mean, it's a, it's basically an ultrasound wand that they insert and they chat. And, you know, and if you're not ready for that, it's just like,
Oh, sure. Oh, no. Well, I actually, not to, well, to get a little personal, but when I was in my early 20s, I had ovarian cysts. I had a couple of them, and I had to go, you know, the ultrasound, the wand. It's just very painful, and, you know, it's like, you know, going to the bathroom often, it's, and it's not fun. So I luckily didn't have to have surgeries, but, you know, they just dissolved. But, I mean, I haven't had any in 10 years. But when I was younger, I had a lot of problems, and so luckily now I'm a lot healthier and have, you know, taken precautions and things like that. But with this type of stuff, there, you know, there really is no precaution. You just have to know, you just got to pay attention, you know, to your body. So.
And I don't know if you know this, Sarah, but also, like, some people who have certain types of breast cancer have to have the BRCA test to see if they're at risk for ovarian cancer as well, and vice versa.
Really?
Yes, it's a genetic. It's a genetic test, and I'm not sure what the type of person, like what the ethnicity is. That's the main. But that's a, that's another test that's highly expensive, and I always tell people, you know what? I'd rather be broke than dead. You know, what's more important to you, your money or your life?
Sure. Well, and you know what? It's funny how, you know, when you need to get something done, if you really, if it's necessary, you'd be surprised at what the universe can come up with for
you. Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
It's funny how things happen, and it's pretty amazing, you know, that the universe will definitely give you what you need. Mm-hmm. And not always what you want, but what you
exactly.
need.
Exactly. I agree.
At the time.
I agree. And,
yeah.
And that's one thing I always say on the show. You know, you have to be proactive, like you said. I never think that not having insurance is an excuse, even just getting a physical. You know, I mean,
yeah.
I would be happy if people said, I'm going to save my money, not go out to the bar, go to the movies for a month, get a physical,
right.
You know, because you never want to, you know, I don't want someone to come back at me and like,
sure.
See, I was healthy,
yeah.
Blah, blah, you know, I mean, yes, I would like someone to say that to me. But on the other hand, it's like, well, what if they catch something in time? And if that person decided, well, you know, I don't feel sick. Somebody actually told me that. It's like, well, I'm not going to go to the doctor. I don't feel sick. And I said, you know what? I'm the last person you need to say that to because when I was diagnosed, I didn't feel sick at all. I mean, I found the lump, and they were surprised by my diagnosis. I was 37.
Right.
And your friend was young too. And it's like, you know, we have
to
raise awareness because cancer seems to be getting into more and more young adult survivors.
Well, I think nowadays, you know, we're so distracted, you know, by life in general, you know, everything with the internet, we're not really living in the moment anymore, you know, with society and just everything that goes on. It's taking the time out to pay attention to, you know, your thoughts, your body and all of those things. And I think it's just nowadays it's become more and more, there's just so many more distractions, you know, so people just don't pay attention.
Right.
And it's just so important to really pay attention and slow it down and bring it back. And, you know, I'm a firm believer that what you are what you think about. And I think that if you're continuously stressed out and you're continuously worrying, that can also be it can cause cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to really be mindful of what you're doing in your you know, daily life and what you're putting in your mouth and eating and things like that. So it's a variety of all kinds of things. I mean, genetics are genetics, but you can't help that. But there are so many things that we can do, I think, to be, you know.
Right. When you reach for the bag of chips, look at the nutrition label before you, you know, before you eat them. And then you would go like, oh, either put them back or go to the organic section or, you know, find something healthy to eat.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't always taste the best, but hey, you know.
Exactly. I had my doctor one time because I'm not supposed to have sugar, and I was started drinking the diet stuff, like diet lemonade.
Oh,
now, I know, and I was like, see, I'm drinking the diet lemonade, and she was like, kind of like shaking her finger at me. Why? She's like, don't drink that. She's like, I'd rather have you drink the sugar stuff. I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah. Well, they do say that diet, that you'd be better off drinking regular, you know, soda than diet soda.
Right.
Because of all the bad things, but...
I know, it was just funny. Here I was all proud of myself, and she's like, yeah, don't do that.
No.
I was like, oh, you're right.
Darn
all
it.
The time. I know.
Again.
She's such a, curse is spoiled again. She's such a great doctor, and I love her. And that's another thing I always say, if you go to a doctor and you don't feel right, then get a second opinion, go get a different doctor.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, that's like with Nadia, she has a website, actually, at nodsquad.com. And you can read her story, and it starts from, you know, the beginning of when she went to the OBGYN, and, mm-hmm. you know, they told her that, you know, it was just, oh, you know, you just go see the GI, and before she even had any more tests done. So a whole month went by.
Wow.
And she was worse, you know, and she went through her birthday, and she's, you know, true Nadia style, because she was just such a, you know, she was at Lotus for dinner and hanging out and just trying to ignore the pain that was going on and dancing, and she was just like, she felt like a baby's rattle in her, you know, in her pelvis, just because, oh, getting goosebumps, but because it was just so awful. But all that time went by.
Right.
And it's just, you know, because somebody, you know, she didn't do it. She's, that's the whole thing about her size, demand the test. That's the bottom line. Her story is there. And, you know, the great part is that once we started doing this, you know, we contacted the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund, and, you know, we sent them the song, and they were like, oh my gosh, this is great. You know, we'll be behind you 100%. So, you know, we're donating a large part of the proceeds to OCRF.
Excellent.
So that's why we've got approved for the logo and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping to raise a boatload of money to find a cure. So
I know, exactly.
So we're hopefully, yeah, I mean, this has just been, it's been an incredible experience. I mean, I had no idea, you know, how many people out there had knew somebody who had cancer or had been through cancer themselves, and young people. And there was a girl who contacted me from one of the radio stations that played my record, and she sent me a text, and she was like, I'm finally cancer-free from breast cancer. And I'm like, oh my God, you're only 25 years old.
Wow.
And so she was like, I heard your song, and it's, you know, people like you who give us hope. And I just started to cry, and I was like, my gosh, I just had no idea how much my words had even affected, you know, people so close to me. I just really had no idea. And, but it's more or less, you know, this is Nadia's voice. It's, you know, she definitely wrote this song using me.
Right.
And that was just kind of like the medium. So.
Wow. That's awesome. I know. I'm always surprised when people tell me, they're like, oh, you're a cancer. Well, obviously they know that I'm a cancer survivor, but they, yeah, I am too. Or yeah. Hi. But yeah, I mean, I had somebody who's a friend of mine. I did the Relay for Life this past weekend, and I walked, oh my God, like 6 hours, I think. Every time I would go to sit down,
yeah.
Every time I would go to sit down, someone else would come by and say hello. So I'm like, okay, let's go for a walk.
You're the warrior, girl. No stopping.
Well, my feet were ready to stop at the end of the day. But
right.
I had a friend of mine who just came for the, like, she came to walk, and she came to the survivor dinner, and she came up to me and she goes, you're so inspiring. Keep doing what you do. And I was just like,
yeah.
What? Because sometimes, I mean, I do what I do because I feel that that's what I need to do. When you wrote this song,
sure.
The same way. And I don't,
yeah.
I think, as I'm sure you do, the cause is way more important than me. And,
I'm
speaking at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America in a couple days, and I'm going to tell them that my job is to put them all out of work. And,
exactly.
You know, make the golf courses busy.
That's right? Exactly. Oh, that's wonderful. That's great.
Yes.
That's great.
Because, I mean,
fantastic.
I know what I've been through, and you know what your friend has been through, and we don't want anyone else to go through that.
Definitely not. And, when my aunt had passed away, you know, it was my grandmother's sister, and I was close to her, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't get to see her, like, face-to-face. She lived out in Colorado, and so it wasn't like I got to see all happening.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I heard about it, and I was pretty sad, of course, but I didn't, I hadn't seen her in a few years. You know, I had lived in Florida, and I moved to New York, and I'm actually originally from Baroda, Michigan.
Oh.
Which is in southwest Michigan, right by St. Joseph.
Nice.
Which is across the lake from Chicago, so I'm a Michigan girl. But, yeah, so then when this happened with Nadia, I just had, you know, I had no idea. I'd never had anyone close to me go through anything like this through cancer. I had no idea. And it was just so sad. And so now it really hit me, you know, hard, because I'd never been through anything like this before. I don't want to go through it again.
That's true. And
that's for sure. You know, it's, I remember when she'd sent me this message, and she was like, you know, girl, I've been through hell and back. All I want to do is just go and have a drink with you. And I'm like, you know what? I don't even care about that. I will come running to your side and hold your hand and sing you to sleep. I don't care. So forget the drinks. I just, you know, want to help you get through this. So, you know, but
I think a lot of people, like, as a caregiver and as a friend, you may think, oh, I just want to hold your hand. And as a cancer survivor, we're just like, oh, my God, just treat me as normal. You know,
right.
I had some people who wouldn't even vent their problems to me because they thought I would compare it. I'm like, okay, your car broke down. I'm not going to say, well, I have cancer, so.
Right.
You know, it's like, please tell me about your, you know, problems with your boyfriend or your job or something. I mean, I just.
Yeah, get my mind off it.
Yeah, exactly. Please.
Yeah. You know, Nadia was telling me a story when she went through her first, second or third treatment of chemo, and she was, you know, baldy bean, mm-hmm. and she was standing outside a restaurant and, you know, with some of her friends after dinner, and so this girl comes outside to smoke a cigarette, and she was like, oh, yeah, like, I love to do, you know, that's so trendy and retro. She was like, yeah, no, it's cancer. And she said something like, thanks, but it was actually, you know, I just went through cancer. And the girl just, like, looked at her, and she's like, it's okay. She's like, I know, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's great that
she... so well. You know, and she just, you know, she didn't wear a wig, and she was out there, and she'd wear scarves, and because she was just like that, well, that's what she was.
Right.
I mean, it didn't matter. I mean, she was so full of style and full of life. Like, the hair, it didn't even, you know, whatever. You know, so, yeah, I remember telling that story. The girl's face was like, oh, my God. She's like, no, oh, forget it. Don't be sorry.
But I hope she put her cigarette out at that point.
She did.
I'm like, well, I'm not smoking again.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great that she kept such a positive mental attitude. And I think that's one thing that people tend to forget that really helps.
Yeah.
Is, you know, either a sense of humor or, you know, finding something that keeps you going, whether it be like your friends, as with Nadia, or, you know, watching funny movies, or just, you know, basically having a great support system, as I can tell that Nadia
absolutely.
Had. That just, you know,
definitely.
I mean, yeah, there's always going to be those dark times, but, you know, life's too short to live like that. Even if you don't
absolutely.
Have cancer, like I always tell people, it's like, why do you want to be all sad all the time?
<You know>? Right. Yeah. Well, I think that, you know what, when it's not personal and you don't experience it, you don't know how to act. You don't really know what to say, or you like know what's appropriate, or you know, I think that the person who's actually going through it is like, just treat me like you would treat me at any other day.
Exactly.
Don't make me feel any different than I already feel.
Right. I know.
Right?
You are right. I mean, how many times I had somebody come up to me, how are you doing today? It's like, oh my God, I'm going to smack you. Or
don't say that tone.
Oh, seriously. I had a doctor.
So
I told all my coworkers, I said, please don't treat me any different. I'm going to look different. Probably I'll probably lose weight and whatever, yada, yada, yada. And then I had to tell my doctor the same thing because she had this sympathetic look on her face. And I know she meant well, and she didn't, you know, my doctor I had just met literally, you know, someone recommended her. I went to see her. She told me I had cancer. I'm like, that's a nice introduction.
Introduction,
but,
right?
Yeah. But I said, I'm not going to take that look from my friends, and I'm sure as hell not going to take it from you. I'm like, I don't want my doctor to look at me like, oh, my God, poor you.
Right.
You know? But, yeah,
right.
I mean, we all just want to be treated normally, you
of
know,
course.
Like the same, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, you go see Nadia, hey, let's go out to the movies, or, you know, if she's too weak, well, then we'll order pizza and watch something on TV.
Right.
Or, you know.
And don't talk about it.
Right, unless she wants to. Don't be like,
exactly.
Yeah, are you feeling
right,
all right today?
Right. Exactly.
I know, and a lot of people don't understand it because they want to help, but it's like, okay,
sure.
Well, there's only, they don't realize that you've already told your story about 8 billion times that day. And, you know, Sarah comes over and sees Nadia, and it's like, oh, my God, if someone asks me how I'm feeling today, the next person is just going to...
The next person's going to kiss Max, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you have no idea, and you're that next person, and you're like, well, what's going on?
What did I do? Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, a sense of normalcy is very important, you know?
Yeah. Well, this is definitely... It's changed me. It definitely has changed me. I look at things so different now. I really do, and it really makes you not take the you know, anything for granted anymore. You know, you just have to appreciate everything. And you know, we go through hardships, and it teaches you lessons. And if you learn from it, you know, that's what life's about. And some people come into our lives and teach us even greater lessons. And that was Nadia, and she's, you know, still rooting for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as survivors, she is there, and these are her words, that you are here today, you know, so I hope that everyone finds some inspiration in the single.
I'm sure they will. Now, if, well, obviously people want to hear this song, where can they get it?
You can go to iTunes,
mm-hmm.
and you can just enter in Sarah Matea, M-A-T-T-E-A.
Yes.
And the song is called I Am Here to Stay, Nadia's song. It's on Red Stick Recordings.
Excellent.
And it should just come up, so they can download it and tell your friends and download it, and, you know, help us win this, you know, find a cure.
Yes. Now you're
it's also on Amazon too.
Oh, excellent.
It'll trickle down to all the digital download sites, but more importantly, on YouTube there is an awareness video that we're really trying to spread around also. It just gives, you know, the symptoms. It gives pictures of Nadia, of course, and her and I together, and OCRF logo and all of their information. So if you, you know, numbers to call if you are feeling a certain way, and, you know, just some more information about ovarian cancer. And then there's a picture of my Aunt Nancy for a special remembrance at the end. So we just want to spread the word about that as well.
Now, the YouTube site, is that your own YouTube site, or...?
It's on the Red Stick.
Oh, Red Stick. Okay.
Recordings. Yeah, the Red Stick channel. Red Stick Recordings YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. And if people want to get a hold of you, you have your Facebook fan page. Do you answer?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Cause some people don't. Some people have a person who takes care of their fan page.
No, it's just, I have a person or people, but
right.
I like to get personal with my fans and answer questions and talk to them just like anyone else. So, yeah, I think Ellen had a show where she's like, oh, yeah, talk to my people. It was like, I was like, I don't want to be that girl.
Yeah, exactly. And do you have a website also?
I don't have a website. I have a MySpace page, which is myspace.com/lovelylyrics.
Oh, very nice.
And so I have some information on there and more music to listen to and pictures and a little bio and stuff like that from some other things that I've been involved in. So, but this is definitely the beginning of me doing some work for others, that's for sure.
Yes. Now, are you taking the song out anywhere, or right now it's just a single? No one's asked you to perform it anywhere?
It's just a single. I'm hoping to get some performances as the word gets out, you know, for benefits and whatnot.
Right.
That's ultimately the goal, for sure.
Oh, yes. And then there's also the website Nod Squad. That's NADSquad.com to find out more
that's
about
right.
Nadia's. And then
yes. You
can Google the Ovarian Cancer Research Fund, which is where your money is going, which is excellent.
That's right, yes. And I believe they're actually going to put the link to the song as well and the YouTube video on their website. So, yeah,
getting
some good support from them, so that'd be great.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Sarah. It was very informative.
Thank you for having me.
And
yes, it's been great talking to you.
And download. And tell all your friends to download.
Yes.
Awesome, Sarah. I'm gonna wrap it up like I usually do. This is The Cancer Warrior. You can find me on Facebook because I am a junkie, Mel Majoros. You can fan or like or whatever they call now. The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com Facebook page. You can check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.